Ches and Vez, we are holding at Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav right here. I'm going to have to do it on the board because I don't have my Gemara with me. Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav. Kohen sha'achal michatas va'asham lefnei zrika loket. A Kohen who eats a carbon chatas or a carbon asham before they throw the blood, before they sprinkle the blood, gets malchus. Is a Kohen generally allowed to eat a carbon chatas and carbon asham?
No.
Yes. But he has to wait normally till after they sprinkle the blood. They sprinkle the blood. If he does it before they sprinkle the blood, he gets malchus. My taima. Why does he get malchus? The Amar Kra, because the pasuk says va'achlu asam asher kupar bahem, that he eats them after there is a kapara, after the whoever brought it gets their atonement. When does someone get atonement for when they bring karban? When they sprinkle the blood. If the kohen eats it before they get atonement, he has violated this pasuk. La'achar kapara in. After the kapara, he can eat the karban. Lifnei kapara, lo. Before there's kapara, what's another word for kapara? The way we're describing, what does kapara mean over here? The zrika. Before the kapara of the sprinkling of the blood, the kohen cannot partake of the karban. Now this pasuk in quotes of Yerachlos Amasher Kupar Behem, is that a mitzvah saseh or a mitzvah lo saseh? Look at the phrasing of the pasuk. Va'achlu osam, you should eat them, asher kupar behem, that which already had a kapara. So it sounds like a mitzvah saseh, that the kohen is a positive mitzvah to eat the karban after the zrika. We're learning from that pasuk that he's not allowed to eat it when? Before the zrika. But is that an asay or a lo saseh? This sounds like a mitzvah saseh. Why would you get malchus on a mitzvah saseh? Says the Gemara. Lav haba mechlal asay. There's your concept. Lav haba mechlal asay. Lav hu. We must be assuming that a lav that emerges from a pasuk that's really an asay counts as a lav. Meaning, when the pasuk tells you do this, and we realize that the pasuk means, doesn't say it, but means, but don't do that, that's called a los asay. That's not called a violation of an asay. So when the pasuk says, eat the karban after the zrika, we realize that must mean what?
Don't eat it.
Before the zrika, that counts as a lav. Even though the Torah never said, lo, hisham, erpen, al, none of the languages of lav, that counts as lav. That's why he gets malchus. That's what we call lav haba mechlal asay. Lav haba mechlal asay is a lo saseh that comes from a pasuk that's written in the form of an asay.
That's the concept?
Yeah. Masav Rava, so Rava asks, wait a second. Really? You want to tell me that lav haba mechlal asay counts as an asay? Is that really true? But there's a pasuk v'chol behema mafreses parso v'shosa ashesu shtei prasos malager v'behema osa tochelu. Pasuk says you're allowed to eat kosher animals, animals that have split hooves and that chew their cud. You're supposed to eat those animals. And what are we darshan from that? That yeah, you can eat the animals that have split hooves and chew their cud. What would you derive from that? You cannot eat animals that don't meet those criteria. Osa tochelu, you can eat that. But the ain behema acheres tochel, you can't eat anything else. Now that alone, if a lav haba mechlal asay counts as a lav, that alone should be a lav. And if you eat a non-kosher animal, from that pasuk alone, you should already get malchus. We wouldn't need any other pasuk to tell me you get malchus for eating non-kosher. Here's the problem, says the Gemara. The Torah gives us another pasuk, and the other pasuk is explicit as a lav. Why do I need another pasuk? That pasuk should have been fine. It says you eat animals that have split hooves and chew their cud. Good. That's all I need. Now I know that I get malchus for eating non-kosher animals. But it goes on to say, Vikit Kahamrit, if what you're saying is true, that any lav haba mechlal asay is a lav, es ze lo tochelu, when the Torah says, and here's what you can eat, what you cannot eat, lamali, why do I need such a pasuk? I don't need a pasuk to tell me what not to eat. Once I have a pasuk that tells me what I can eat, I already know that I get malchus for everything else, for what you can't eat. So rather we have to change the original statement of Rav Gidol Amar Rav. Here was Rav Gidol Amar Rav, we have to change it. Here's what Rav Gidol Amar Rav really said. Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav, Zor Sha'achal. Zor Sha'achal. What's a Zor? A non-Kohen that eats Mechatos Va'ashal Mufnei Zrika, from a carbon chatos or a carbon asha before the Zrika, before the sprinkling of blood, Potter, he doesn't get Malchus. My taima, why is he pater? da amar kra, because the pasuk says va'achlu osam asher kupar behem, that you can eat from them when they gave a kapara. What does that mean? Kol heicha de karinan bei va'achlu osam asher kupar behem karinan bei vizar lo yochem. Only when someone can eat from it after a kapara, only then can a zar not eat it. Meaning, when can the kohen start to eat from it? After the zrika. Only then is there a lo saseh for the zar to eat it. Only when the kohen should be eating it, that's when a zar can't eat it and is going to get malchus for it. But kodesh v'kal hecha the lo yachol kodesh. Only then is there an isser of zar lo yachol kodesh. But v'kal hecha to lo karinu beivachol osam asher kupar behem. But any time where the kohen cannot yet eat it, why can't the kohen yet eat it? Because it's before zrika. Then lo karinu beivazar lo yachol. Then the zar has no isser yet to eat it. He has no chiyuv malchus yet to eat it. Period. That's the end of that discussion. What would be the main point to summarize that? Two versions of Rav Gidel of Arav. Two versions of Rav Gidel of Arav. How would you summarize this? Two versions of Gidol Amarav. The first version of Gidol Amarav is that a Kohen who eats before Zrika gets Malkus. One, Kohen Ochel Bufnei Zrika Lokin. Kohen who eats before Zrika gets Malkus. And the second is, Zar eats before Zrika does not get Malkus. Type of carbon? Chatos or Rasha. It's all about Chatos or Rasha. That's the end of the Zrika discussion. Now the Gemara moves on to the discussion about Bikurim. What is Bikurim? The first fruits that a person brings to Jerusalem. He's got to bring it in a fancy basket. And what does he have to do with these fruits? Well, there are a few things he's got to do with them. You got to take the basket and put it down where? In Yerushalayim, next to the Mizbeach. That's called the Hanacha, the placing of the Bikurim next to the Mizbeach. He's also got to do a tenufa, a waving of the basket, together with the Kohen. They're going to do this waving around of the basket. Who gets to eat the Bikurim? The Kohen gets to eat the Bikurim, but you have to do both things, a hanacha and a tenufa. The question is, when can the Kohen eat? Is it as soon as the hanacha is done? As soon as the tenufa is done? Like, which of these things is absolutely critical to happen in order to allow the Kohen to eat the Bikurim? Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Hoshea. Bikurim hanacha ma'akevis behed. When it comes to bikurim, placing it next to the mizbeach, that's ma'akev. That's an absolute necessity. No one's allowed to eat it until you do what? Until you do hanacha, until you place it next to the mizbeach. Kriya ain ma'akevis behed. I'm sorry, I said tenufa. There's another part. There's the kriya. What's kriya? Kriya is the reading of the parsha. There are certain psukim you're supposed to say when you bring the bikurim. It's called mikra bikurim. The kriya is not ma'akev. If you didn't do the kriya, the kohen's already allowed to eat it. But what is absolutely ma'akev? The hanacha. Umiyam Rav Lazar Hachi. Ask the Gemara, does Rav Lazar really say that? Vaham Rav Lazar Amar Rav Hoshea. Did Rav Lazar say in the name of Rav Hoshea the following? That hifrish bikurim kodim lachad. Let's say you were mafrish bikurim. You designated your bikurim before Sukkos. Va'avar alayan achad. And Sukkos passed and you didn't yet do anything with it. The halacha is yirkavu. What does yirkavu mean? Yeah.
Thursday night, Shiva, we have the 19 seniors. They come to listen to us. They're coming to hear all about yeshivas, etc. They need about 4 juniors to come just to tell people where to go, what to do. Well, I'll tell you, it's a school. Rambam will be here, Hefto will be here, George Shul will be here, Hank will be here. 20 different yeshivas. Israel will be here. It's here in the building. It's Thursday night. I need people to be here from approximately after school till 9:30 working. You will get 6 hours of chesed, okay, plus dinner. So 6 chesed hours plus dinner if you're here from 6 to 9:30. So then again, the hard work is really between 7, you know, just telling people where to go between 7 and 8. Otherwise, it's just a lot of hanging around, just looking forward. Some of you are good at that, some of you aren't, but if anybody would like to volunteer, please raise the field and let me know. Awesome. Thank you. Okay, great. So two of you, I'll get some shingles in there. Yeah? Okay, great.
Right, Shkoyach. Okay. All right, it was recording the whole time. I don't know how to stop it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it says Gemara, if you bring bikurim, if you have your bikurim before Yantiv, the halacha is the mikra bikurim, the reading of the parsha of the bikurim can only be done before Yantiv. Once Sukkot passes, you can't do the mikra bikurim anymore. So says the Gemara, once Sukkot passes, you just have to let the bikurim rot. No one's ever going to be allowed to eat them. Why? Why is no one ever going to be allowed to eat them? Because you never did mikra bikurim. You never read the parsha. What do you see from there? What really matters? That you have to do the kriya. So my lav mishum de lo matzi the mikriya lein. Isn't it because it's too late to do the kriya, and that's why it has to be rot? Do you have to let them rot? V'sal kedai to kriya ein makevus. But according to what you're telling us, that kriya doesn't really matter. Amayir kavu. Why would they have to rot? Why would we have to let these fruits rot? This is a proof that kriya does matter. How can you tell me kriya doesn't matter? We say over here that if yantif passes and therefore you can't do kriya, what do you have to do with the fruits? Let them rot. You can't eat them anymore. Why? Because you didn't do kriya. So what do you see really matters?
The kriya.
Kriya really matters. Answers the Gemara another very important concept. Because Rabbi Zeira, like Rabbi Zeira teaches, Dama Rabbi Zeira, Kal haroi lebila, ein bila ma'akevas go. V'kol she'en haroi lebila, bila ma'akevas go. Okay, that's one big concept. Rabbi Zeira tells us, sometimes, even if something isn't really needed, you at least need to have the potential to do it. You don't need to actually do it, you need to have the potential to do it. So, for example, over here, do you need to actually do the mikra bikurim in order to be able to eat the fruits? No. But you need to at least be able to do the mikra bikurim. Once Sukkot passes, you're not even able to do the mikra bikurim. That's why they have to rot. You don't have to actually do the mikra bikurim. This applies all over Shas, this concept. That sometimes all we require is that you're able to do something, not that you actually do. Where else does this apply? This would apply, for example, yeah?
To fix something with a mitzvah to a raisa.
I'm not sure what you mean. Oh, you're talking about like bitlev lebitlev. Okay, lavin is glass here, bitlev lebitlev. Maybe. Let me just give like clearer, easier examples. There is a halacha that if you have a kabur mincha that has flour and oil, you're supposed to mix all the flour together with the oil. If you don't mix all it together, it's still a kosher carbon. What if you have so much flour that it couldn't possibly mix with that oil? Then it's not kosher. But you don't have to mix it anyway. Yeah, you don't have to mix it, but you have to be
able
to mix it. There is a halacha, when a woman goes to the mikveh, she can't have anything stuck between her teeth. She has to brush her teeth first. She can't have like meat stuck between her teeth because the water has to be able to get everywhere in her mouth. But she doesn't open her mouth in the mikveh. You don't need to open your mouth in the mikveh. The halacha is we don't open the mouth in the mikveh. So why do we care that there's something stuck between her teeth? You're right. You don't need the water to actually go in there. You don't need the water to go in the mouth, but you need it to
be able
to go in the mouth. Kalaroi labila. You just need it to be ra'oi to happen. It needs to be able to happen. It doesn't have to actually happen. That's how mikra bikurim works. Mikra bikurim is not ma'akev. It's not necessary in order for the fruits to be eaten, but at least you need to be able to do the mikra bikurim. Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov, masni la k'drabi asi. Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov taught like Rabbi Asi, am Rabbi Yochanan. He taught like Rabbi Asi, am Rabbi Yochanan taught. Well, who is Rabbi Asi, am Rabbi Yochanan? We had Rabbi Asi Amar B'Yochanan a little bit earlier. No, where was Rabbi Asi Amar B'Yochanan? Where? Anyone see? What? You making it up? So he taught like Rabbi Asi Amar B'Yochanan. Umi Amar B'Yochanan, Bikurim Hanacha Ma'akeves Behen, Kriya Ein Ma'akeves Behen. And he asked the following question. Does Rabbi Yochanan really say that that when it comes to bikurim, the placing of the bikurim down is what's critical, the reading is not so critical? Va'baymenei Rav Asi Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Asi asked from Rabbi Yochanan the following, bikurim me'em asayim utar in the Kohanim. What does that mean? Bikurim me'em asayim utar in the Kohanim. From when do they become mutar in the Kohanim? What does that mean? Come on. When does it become mutar for the Kohanim to eat the bikurim? Va'amar Aleyan, Rabbi Yochanan said, Aru'uyin, the Kriya, Mishi Yikra Aleyan. those bikurim that you could still read the parsha about them, meaning it's not yet past Sukkos. When you start reading the parsha, that's when it becomes mutter. V'she'ein ru'in l'kriya, misharo p'nei abayis. And when they're not ru'in l'kriya, when it's already after Sukkos, then as soon as they come into the Beis HaMikdash, it's already, ein ru'in l'kriya, meaning if it's someone who can't read the parsha, then it's as soon as it sees the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, kasha kriya, kriya kasha anacha anacha. There's a double stira, because this makes it sound like that when it comes to Mikra Bikurim, the Mikra Bikurim is Ma'akev, and Rabbi Yochanan just said the Mikra Bikurim is not Ma'akev, right? We just said that Kriya ain't Ma'akeves, now it sounds that the Kriya is Ma'akev. We said before that Anach is Ma'akev, now we're saying that Anach is not Ma'akev. Answers the Gemara, Kriya Akriya lo Kasha. It's not a Kasha, it's not a stira about whether Mikra is Ma'akev. Har Rabbi Shimon Har Rabbanan. It's a Machlokas. There's a Machlokas whether Kriya is Ma'akev. One opinion is Rabbi Shimon, one is the Rabbanan. Hanacha Hanacha Nami Lo Kasha. It's also not a stira whether Hanacha is Ma'akev. Why? Har Rabbi Yehuda V'Har Rabbanan. It's a Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan whether Hanacha is Ma'akev. What do I mean whether Hanacha is Ma'akev? If you didn't do the Hanacha, what's the Hanacha? Putting the Bikurim next to the Mizbech, can... What's the question? Can what? Can the Kohanim eat from it? That's a machlokas also. How's it a machlokas? My Rabbi Yehuda, where do we find Rabbi Yehuda discussing the issue? D'tanya, we have a braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, v'hinachto zutnufa. Rabbi Yehuda says that when the Torah says v'hinachto, it's actually referring to not placing the bikurim down, it's actually referring to waving the basket around. Atomer zutnufa enu ala nachamamish. How do you know it means waving? Maybe it means placing. No, because it already says a different pasuk, they have to place it down. What do I do with this pasuk? That must be referring to the requirement of waving the basket. And who's the one that disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Because the Braisa says, the Kohen takes the basket from your hand. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that's the pasuk that teaches us that you need tenufa. So essentially, the way it boils down is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that we have two pesukim that tell me that you need to place the basket down. Whenever you have two pesukim tell you something, that means that that thing is really important. And then if you don't do that thing, the whole thing's going to be ruined. So if you have two pesukim tell me to place the basket down, that means if you don't place the basket down, the kohen aren't going to be allowed to eat it. Rabbi Yehuda says, we only have one pasuk to tell me that you place the basket down. And therefore, you're supposed to put the basket down. But if you don't, the Kohanim are still allowed to eat it. Whenever you have only one pasuk in Kachim telling me, that's something you're supposed to do. When you have two pasukim telling it to you, then not only are you supposed to do it, if you don't do it, it's going to be possible, the whole thing's going to be bad. So we have a machlokas tanaim, whether the hanacha is ma'akev. What do I mean, whether the hanacha is ma'akev? What do those words mean? Whether the hanach is ma'akev, whether placing the basket down is going to makes it mutter or not. Meaning whether a kohen is allowed to eat if you didn't place the basket down. Two opinions. So main point over here, machlokas, whether kriya is ma'akev, and you have to know what those words mean, obviously, and a machlokas, whether Hanacha is ma'akev.
What's ma'akev?
Ma'akev means makes it okay, prevents it from being kosher. Meaning a failure to do hanacha would ruin the whole thing. Whether a failure to do kriya would ruin the whole thing. Says the Gemara, my time at the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Why does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov think that from the words v'laka chakoyin atenem yadecha that we learn the mitzvah of waving the bikurim around? Asir yad yad mishlami. He learns the word yad from the word yad that's used by Karban Shlami. Ksiv hacha, it says over here by Bikurim, v'laka chakoin hatena mi yadecha uksiv, and it says by Karban Shlami, yadav tiviena es ishei Hashem. Ma kan kohen, aflalan kohen. Just like by Bikurim, the kohen takes the basket, by the Karban Shlami, the kohen must also take the parts of the Karban Shlami. Mala halan bailim afkan bailim, but by the carbon shlamim, we said the owner of the carbon has to take the parts of the carbon. So over here also by Bikurim, also the owner has to take the parts of the carbon. Meaning, who does the waving of the Bikurim basket? Says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, both the Kohen and the owner. What do you mean? How do they both do it at the same time? Haketzad, how do they do it? Meniach Kohen Yadav Tachas Yidei Bailim Umeinim. Period. What does that mean? Meniach Kohen Yadav Tachas Yidei Bailim. Good. The Kohen puts his hands underneath the owner's hands and they wave the basket together. So the halacha is, again, I guess the last main point is Kohen and owner wave the Bikurim together. They wave both the Bikurim actually and the Karban Shlomim together. Those are halacha by Bikurim and halacha by parts of a Karban Shlomim that they're supposed to wave it together. Kohen puts his hands under the hands of the Bailim. There's one place in Shas where the Bailim is a woman. So what do you do then? Can the Kohen put his hands under the woman's hands and wave it together? No. So the Bali Atos discussed that. By a Sota, there's a part of the procedure is also waving something. So there's a big discussion of what you do about that situation when it's a woman. All right, it's 20.